Good morning. Would y'all please stand with us? We're going to be singing "He Keeps Me Singing," page 488.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my resting neath a sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my
welcome, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming to worship the Lord. And Jesus is the sweetest name we know, for sure. Second for me is Kitty, but it is Jesus, for sure. Hopefully you've gotten the email about different ones that have on our prayer list. And I did write some things down so I wouldn't forget this week. For Ellie Lamp down in Texas, Mike, her son Mike, was diagnosed with a brain tumor, but they're going to meet with the specialist tomorrow and then schedule a biopsy from that to figure out what's going on and what the plan's going to be. So be in prayer for them. The prayer they want right now is just to have a peace about this as they wait on things. And we can certainly know what that's like. Margaret Lehman did get to the assisted care place there in Lafayette. The address was on the email for her, but be in prayer for her because, like most places, you can't go in. Even her daughters can't go in, and so that's very hard on folks. And that leads me to Donna and Annetta. Annetta is home, and she said she's very tired. She gets tired a lot, but doing well. But for Don's been struggling for a while with memory and things like that. And so with this now being away, isolated in the hospital room, it's been a struggle for him to comprehend what's going on with no family, with Annetta not there with him. And so her prayer is that Don could have just a peace that passes understanding, that God would just be the center of his mind. She encouraged him, when you can't figure things out, just say Jesus, and let's pray that with them. Her hopes and prayers is that he can get strong enough to be able to come home, but that means she needs to be strong enough for him to come home, to take care of him. So a lot of prayer for that family at this time. Also, I'd just encourage us again to pray for our nation. A lot to pray about. But I want to challenge us. Let's be known as people of prayer, okay? If we're known of anything, let's be known as people of prayer. And start there, and God will direct us. Other prayer requests, updates, anybody? Yeah, Naomi. Will do. And if you didn't get the word, mum is the word, because there are mums outside. By the bench, Rod has, Rod and Donna have some mums out there for the taking. So first come, first serve. Try to show some restraint when they're out there fighting over those things, okay? But they're the little ones by the bench, not the real big one on the other side. And then finally, ladies, your Bible study picks up again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So are there handout sheets, things like that? Handout sheets in the back for ladies' Bible study, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Anything else? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, thank you for the avenue of prayer. Thank you that we can bow our heads and come into your throne room because of Jesus. We can't do it in our own righteousness because we have none. But, Father, because of our faith in Jesus, he's put his righteousness to our account. And we come in that. We come in his name, that sweet name of Jesus. And, Father, we just come first and foremost to just worship you, to glorify you, God, for who you are. But also, God, we want to pray for these that have been mentioned, Father, that are in need of healing, need of strength, of direction, of a peace, God, as they wait on things. Father, we just ask that you would meet these needs in a very special, real, personal way, that you would show yourself, God, powerful and caring, because we know you are. But, Father, I pray that we would be watching and looking for ways that we can be of help, Father. But, Father, most of all, as we meet this morning, we are so thankful for the great plan of salvation. And we just pray, God, that everyone would make absolutely sure that they have trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, may it be without delay. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Today is the day of salvation. So God, bless us as we worship you in song, and then, God, as we're challenged about your word, and then as we look into your word, Father, we just pray that your word would be alive to us and feed us, God, through the Holy Spirit, so that we are equipped for the things we will face, yes, even today. And we will thank you in Jesus' name.
Please stand with us. Next song we'll be singing is Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Please be seated.
Love that song. Privileged to have from time to time the Gideons come and give a report of their efforts of Gideon's International. And this morning, good friend of ours, good friend of the church, good friend of Gary, of Helen's, Gary Goodman's going to be with us to give that report.
Good morning. It's good to see churches kind of opening up again, sort of getting back to normal. I mean, other than the blanked off benches, that's okay. We can deal with that for a while if we have to. The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the Word of God lasts forever. The Word of God is in this book, the Bible, and our mission as Gideons is to get this book, the Bible, into as many hands that will take it. For there are many millions of people that will never have a Bible unless somebody gives them one. At a small country of Ghana in the continent of Africa, they're at a Bible distribution. One of the teachers came forward to the Gideons there and said, "You Gideons need to know that what these Bibles mean to our students. This is the only book they have that they can truly call their own. And they're going to know what's in this Bible because we're going to use it for one of our textbooks. Those kids are going to learn that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they're going to learn if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Gideons had their start back in 1898 when two Wisconsin businessmen got together and decided to share their evening devotions together. And they said, you know, what can we do to see the Word of God spread the gospel? And they decided their goal was going to be to get a Bible at every front desk of every hotel in the United States. Well, that was their goal, and for the next 10 years, it increased when they found out they would get some help from area churches, that goal changed to a Bible in every hotel room, and it just kind of expanded from there. Carrie Christie was a young girl who had grown up in a good, loving family. On holidays and Easter, Carrie recalled that her family would invite down-and-out people in for a meal. They would care for sick people and do the kinds of things you would expect Christians to do. The odd thing about this family is they were atheists. Carrie's mother was gifted and accomplished watercolor artist. She traveled to many art galleries and shows and successfully offered her artwork. When Carrie was 14 years old, she recalled traveling up the eastern seaboard with her mother and to the art shows. One evening, her mother wanted to leave the motel they were staying in to go get something to eat. Carrie did not want to go out. She stayed at the motel. She was an avid reader and was looking for something to read. She found a red Gideon Bible at the end of the bed. She began reading at the beginning of the book. She read how God had spoken the world into existence, how he had created man and woman. She realized this book was like no other. As they left the motel the next morning, she decided to put the Bible in her suitcase. She stole it. She read it once in a while over the next several years. In the spring of her senior year in high school, she prayed out to God, "If you are real, reveal yourself to me." She said, "I expected something magnificent to happen." When nothing physically happened, she decided her parents and family were correct. The Bible and what it stands for might be nice for some people, but the message was not for her. In the fall, when she left for the University of Georgia, she did not take the Bible with her because she was afraid that her mother would notice her with it and would be disappointed, especially if she found out that she had stolen it. That fall in college, Carrie went to a Christian concert and for the first time heard the gospel and truly understood it. She shared this experience with her sister. Soon, her sister and her children gave their hearts to the Lord. Then an aunt and her children were saved. Over the next 30 years, all of her family came to a saving knowledge, including her father. Only her brother and mother remained atheist. In 2002, Carrie's mother developed cancer. After being released from the hospital and being given several months to live, her mother asked Carrie, "Have I lived a life that was good? Have I lived a life in a way that you can be proud of me?" Carrie says, "Mom, Jesus shared a story with a lawyer about how to get to heaven. It is important that we share the gospel. You have lived a life sharing with the poor. I'm proud of you for that, but I wish I could read that story to you." Mom said, "Well, Carrie, if you'll go to my bedroom closet, you'll find a Bible. I don't know how it got there, but it's been there for years." Carrie went and got that red Gideon Bible off the closet shelf that she had taken from the motel room some 35 years before. She opened the Bible and shared the story of Nicodemus and John in John chapter 3 with her mother. Carrie's mother received Jesus as her Savior. Shortly before she passed, she told her daughter, "I've taken many journeys in my life, but I'm about to take the most exciting journey of my whole life." What kind of legacy will you and I leave? What tangible, intentional things are we going to show we are followers of Christ? Gideon offers all of us an avenue for sharing with others God's word and great plan. 1 Peter 4:1, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Today the Gideons are made up of Christian businessmen who are active members in our local Protestant churches. And we have a desire also to be used by God to spread the gospel through Bible distribution. We use our manpower, financial support, and prayers to further the spread of the gospel through Bible distribution. The hallways of James Buchanan High School are filled with students representing small town life in Mercerburg, Pennsylvania. Like most high school students, some strive for excellence in the classroom, while others push their limits on the field. Then there are those like Violet Clark, enthusiastic, a dreamer, those who exude joy and a heart for the Lord in everything they do. As I read this testimony here, I think of the events that happened at West Central's football game last week, where a young girl stood up and died. Just the Lord said, you've lived long enough, and her life was over. And this story has some parallels to that. And the point is, we don't know. We're not promised the next heartbeat. We all know that, but yet we expect it. But it's not always to be. On March 6, 2016, David Kipp from the Franklin Southwest Camp, Pennsylvania, gave a presentation at Ebenezer United Brethren Church. During his presentation, David briefly shared about the life book. Briefly shared about the life book and how God is using it to impact students across the country. This book is a book that the Gideons give away for free in any quantity. It's geared towards pastors or youth leaders ordering it to give to students, to give to other students. We're not allowed in many states, Indiana is one of them, not to be in the schools anymore, but the students can pass this book out. It's based on the book of John, and it has questions. It has a history, brief history of the Bible. And then it has the book of John in here. And this Bible is available in any quantity for free that any of you would want, mainly geared towards youth leaders to give for your youth group, to give to others. Listening from the congregation with youth pastor Chip Stotlemile, Chip was intrigued by the opportunity he heard about, the life book, and ordered 600 copies online following the presentation. Six cases arrived in his office, and he presented the opportunity to students at the next youth group meeting. The students were excited and began making plans to share the books with their peers at James Buchanan High School. Violet Clark, one of the most popular students in the high school, was also a member of this youth group. Violet asked Chip if she could have a whole case, 100 copies of the life book. Over the next few weeks, she literally skipped through the hallways, giving copies to friends and strangers. She wanted to share the message of Christ with her peers, and she was not ashamed. Violet shared nearly the whole case within 6 weeks, and she shared the last three books just before April 21st, her 18th birthday. On Friday, April 22nd, as many of her friends watched, Violet was involved in a serious automobile accident leaving school. In a school where prayer is not promoted, many students and teachers began a prayer vigil asking for God to touch and heal Violet. They gathered in groups from the band room to the library, joined hands, and prayed for a miracle. However, on April 25th, God called Violet home. It is not by accident these individuals had been primed with God's word. Luke Spurgeon works with the drama club at the high school. Shortly after the accident, he wrote, "There are flyers around the school proclaiming the word of God. There has been more prayer in the past 5 days than there has been in many years. When you give to the Gideons, these Bibles cost us $5 to print, and the New Testaments are $1.25. We have different colors of New Testaments. This one happens to be a college edition. We pass these out at college distributions, and these go to the military, camouflaged versions, and 100% of whatever you give will go towards the printing and distribution of the Bibles. We have card racks available. Do you have a card rack? And where you can give cards in honor of other people or in memory or thinking of you in recognition. And it tells how you can give Bibles and then send a card, or we'll send a card for you to whoever you want us to in recognition of that gift. My story begins at rock bottom. I was sitting on a stool in my closet feeling scared of where my life seemed to be headed. I was 25 years old with 3 kids. I had been divorced twice already. I did not hold a full-time job. Life was tough. When I looked in the mirror, all I saw was a loser. So there I sat in my closet with a gun in my hand. I was ready to end my life. In a desperate plea, I shouted out, assuming no one would hear. God, I said, if for some reason I should not end my life right here, right now, then you need to do something. Just then my son came running into the house. Mama, Mama, he called. I have something to show you. Quickly I hid the gun, dried my eyes, and went to him. He had received the New Testament on his way home from school, and he was anxious to show me. He held out the book, a New Testament, from a Gideon who was doing God's will, without knowing the impact he would make that very day. I sat with my son and read the New Testament. Though I cannot tell you what we read, I do know it was the beginning of a whole new chapter in my life as I accepted Christ as my Savior. As I learned more about God, I soon met Jesus face to face. Today, I do my best to listen to the promptings and nudges from the Holy Spirit, who keeps me on the correct path so I may be used by the Lord. In joining the Gideons, I've become more aware of these testimonies and how low some of these people have gotten to, where there is nothing left, and all they can do is say, "Help me, Jesus," and Jesus helped them, and they've given their lives over to Christ. We don't always know where our offerings go when we give. But God has promised that that His word will not return void in Isaiah 54. So when we give out Bibles, we know some of them get destroyed. We know some of them get thrown away. But then we have testimonies where people have pulled Bibles out of the trash and picked them up off the ground, picked pages off the ground, and accepted Christ through those pages they found on the ground. There's a testimony of a man that was in prison. And he said, I knew there were people passing out Bibles, and a Gideon came to my jail cell and offered me a New Testament. I says, yeah, I'll take it. And as I was getting ready to take it, I said, but I want you to know I'm going to use it to roll my tobacco in and smoke the pages. So the Gideon held it back and said, okay. He says, I'll give you this testament for that purpose if you promise to read each page before you smoke it. The guy says, well, okay, all right, I'll do that. So he tells it that he read and smoked his way through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he says he got to John, and he said, I wanted to keep the pages for reference. He said, I just couldn't tear them up anymore. And eventually, other prisoners saw him reading the Bible and studying it, and they talked to him about it, and he turned his life over to Jesus, and he got released early, and that man is now a pastor in a church. So God can do miracles through the printed word any way he wants to. So if you can help us out, that would be great. Thank you, Dennis, for this time to give my report on what the Gideons are doing.
You've got one of these probably laying around in there just to remind us of the Gideons' work, and that you can give any time. But at the end of the service, when we leave, Gary's going to be in the back with an open Bible. And if you feel led to give to the Gideons today, you can just put that offering right in that Bible. And I know we've all been to the hotels and seen the Bibles, and I think for us, we don't appreciate that as much as those who maybe have never heard, never known that God loves them, that there is someone who loves them. And God's word is powerful, and it won't return void. So I encourage you to pray for the Gideons, but also to give to them even today.
Y'all please stand with us. Next song we'll be singing is 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart. Holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near. is unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Your holy
would to Galatians chapter 5 as we continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. I want to remind us what we've started with, and that is that this is a battle. If you remember about our verses that Paul is describing here in Galatians chapter 5, a battle, a fight that's going on between our old nature and the new nature in Christ. And it's a battle for control. Both want control of our lives. The old sinful flesh is battling against the Holy Spirit. Now, we've already seen what the sinful nature produces, right? And it's nothing good. It's not pretty. When you look over that list again there, verses 19 through 21, there's some shameful things there. Things that we're not proud of when we do those things. We try to hide those things. And we hope nobody notices. You ever done that? You do something, you hope nobody notices. You look around, you know, like you slip and fall on the ice. What's the first thing you do? You look around, see if anybody saw it. You do it, you know? Well, I think it's kind of the same thing when we fall into these. When we give in to that lust of the flesh, we hope nobody notices. We hope especially God doesn't notice. And how dumb is that? You know, that God's not going to notice? We saw that the list there, there were four subjects that they fell into. The sexual sins, religious sins, personal sins, and sins of excess. And you can see them there. But the bottom line of the works of the flesh is they're selfish. You look at every one of those in that list, they are all about me. They're all about what I want, what makes me happy.
selfishness. But on the other side of that battle, the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives really Jesus Christ, His character, His image to be stamped on us, the qualities of Jesus. And the one we're going to look at this morning, of course, is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy. What do people think of when they think of joy? What do we associate with joy? Well, usually it's the good times, right? It's when we're happy, when things are going well in our lives. That's the time we're joyful, we're joyous, we rejoice. But let's remember this battle that is going on in our lives, in our spiritual lives. The Holy Spirit wants to control us and produce, yes, joy all the time. Not just in the good times, but also in those other times. And when we go through our prayer list and we think of things going on in our nation and all that's part of life, man, I'm telling you what, we can get dizzy thinking about all the troubles and heartaches. And yet, the Holy Spirit, in that battle, wants to produce joy in our lives. But the old sinful nature is going, now wait a minute. I thought life is about what makes me happy. About what I want, what my pleasure is. And when those things happen in my life, then I'll be joyful. That's what the old nature tells us. Does that sound like selfishness? It sure does. About me and I and my. The focus of the old sinful nature is us. Moi, me. So to think of yielding to the Holy Spirit in this battle, this versus. If we're going to yield to the Holy Spirit all the time, not just during the good times, but all the time, then there has to be a different focus. It can't be on me, on you, on us. It's got to be a different focus. We've all heard and seen this acronym of joy, of putting Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. So I want to ask, could this be helpful in understanding this battle? Well, I think it certainly could, because just to start, there's a different order of things. You notice where we are. We're third, not first. In the old nature, in those acts of the flesh, it's all about us. But when we start to think about joy in the right context, we focus on God first, on Jesus first, and then other people, and then ourselves. So we have to ask ourselves, hey, wait a minute, that's a nice thing, we've all seen it, we've all used it, but is it biblical? Well, yeah, it is, because it's found in Hezekiah chapter 6. There is no Hezekiah chapter 6, okay? No, but I do believe this. I believe there is a biblical principle to this foundation. If you remember last week when we looked at the first element of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, that Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Do you remember what he said? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What did Jesus said comes first? God comes first. Kind of makes sense. God comes first. And then Jesus said, what comes second? What wasn't us? Remember what he said? The second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think we have that biblical principle of putting God first, others second, and ourselves third. It's certainly a pattern worth considering. So let's think. Let's start at the top. When we think of joy, and we think of Jesus, and we think of God the Father, what brings God joy? I mean, what gets Him to going, you know, and excites Him and causes Him to rejoice? Well, if we scour through the Bible, we can find a ton of things that we could put in that list. But this morning, I want us to concentrate on just one thing that stands out, and that is salvation. Salvation. It's a term we use a lot in church. But what does it mean? Gary put it in a nutshell of what the Bible says. Salvation means that you start with every person is a sinner. Every person is a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that there's a penalty for being a sinner. There's a penalty to sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal death, separation from God for all eternity. That's a huge penalty. But there's hope. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still in our sin, ugly as that is, Jesus died for us. And then the rest of that verse 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He offers that to every person, that salvation to every single person. And He says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He is who He says He is, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved now for eternity. That is salvation. That is God's great plan of salvation. And God is looking through salvation to redeem, to save people one person at a time. One by one by one. But, does God enjoy? Does this bring joy to God? Does salvation bring joy to God? Look at Luke 15, would you? Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 15. And there we'll find that Jesus is giving several parables in a row. And a parable is, remember, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And He gives the parable of the lost sheep and of the lost son, better known as the prodigal son. But the one we want to look at real quick is the lost coin found in verse 8. He says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Imagine this picture that Jesus is painting in the parable as He's telling His audience. And he paints the picture of this poor woman, probably a widow woman. And she is struggling through life. And he says she's got 10 coins. And each coin, these silver coins, were about a day's wage. And then one goes missing. Now, for some people, that would not be a big deal. You know, to lose one day's wage, get docked a day's pay. Well, okay. But not to her. To this woman, that was huge. That was 10% of everything she had. She only had so much. And this was valuable. This one coin that was gone is missed. She had to find it. She had to find it. And she goes through all kinds of things to find it. And when she did, she not only rejoiced, but so did everyone else. Listen, God misses every soul. Every soul that has not come to faith in Jesus Christ, God misses that. He notices that. He longs for them to return to Him. 2 Peter. Peter wrote in chapter 3, verse 9, that God wants no one to perish, but all to come to repentance. And when they do, there is great joy, Jesus said, for each and every one. Each and every one that comes to Christ. There is rejoicing in heaven, starting with God all the way down. I want us to consider this. I believe salvation is God's greatest joy. His greatest joy. I think sometimes we, doing this, we bring God joy. Yes, we do. But His greatest joy is when someone comes to Christ. But this joy, this joy that God has comes at great cost, doesn't it? When we think about Jesus, God's Son, going in our place to the cross, the perfect, sinless Son of God taking our place as sinners and paying the price for us. How did God feel about that? Gary said, John 3:16. Oh yeah, God so loved. How did Jesus feel about this? The writer of Hebrews, we won't turn there, but the writer of Hebrews talked about running the race of life. And during that race, there are many times when we get weary and we get burdened and we get entangled in the sin. Remember that passage? And when we are in those straits, we just can't find joy. But he gives this encouragement. He says, while we're running this race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Catch this. For the joy set before Him, talking about Jesus, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got to ask ourselves, is this saying that Jesus enjoyed the cross? No. I don't believe Jesus enjoyed the cross at all. The suffering and the agony and the cruelty of it. Is this saying that Jesus enjoyed the shame? No. I don't believe it is. Jesus was mocked. He was accused of blasphemy, of being the son of the devil. But in the end, he cried out, "It is finished." The work of salvation was complete. And as after he arose from the grave and entered back into heaven, he sat down next to the Father. And guys, I'm just saying. The Father turns to Jesus and says, "Well done, son. Well done." Jesus found the joy that was set before him. Not the cross itself, not the suffering and the shame, but what was set before him in doing the Father's will, securing our salvation. The salvation that is God's greatest joy. Jesus focused on the Father. What Jesus faced was extremely difficult. But he found joy. He found joy by focusing on God and salvation. And guys, listen, here's the point. The same is true for us. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. So much in this life right now, whoa, my goodness, we are bombarded with things. And it is so hard not to just keep looking at all the trouble and the evil and all the things in this world. And it just pulls us down. And before we know it, we're kind of entangled in things. Now, we can experience joy in the midst of these things, in the midst of our trials and our pains and our weakness. Why? Because none of these things of life can take us out of the presence of God. Not one of them. They have not that power at all. We are still in God's presence. We are still His. But what it can cause us to do, these troubles, is to go deeper into the love of God. Go deeper into our faith. Go deeper into what we believe, focusing less on these things and more on our Heavenly Father. And when we do, we're going to find in His presence the joy that we are seeking. That's where the Holy Spirit produces that joy. And it is in that joy, guys, that I believe we are strengthened. That joy picks us up. That joy puts a little giddy in our step. And we need that. The things of life certainly try to drain us of our joy, don't they? It's almost like, the plug's getting pulled. But the Holy Spirit is faithful in producing that joy. But that joy doesn't come naturally. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. But guys, listen. Sometimes that joy comes from the most unexpected places. Doesn't it? I mean, it did for Jesus. Who would have figured? Going to the cross. Suffering shame and agony. And the other side of that's joy. For you and me, as we suffer, what do we suffer? I put down here, we suffer ridicule. Do we really? Do we really? I suppose we do, and we'll tell ourselves we do. But you know what? There are places in this world where people really suffer for their faith. I'm not so sure we do. But it's in those places we can find joy. It's when we do get the bad news and we get that phone call that we don't want to get. The things of this life, like here, this way, that trouble us, that weigh us down, they cause us to focus up to God, to focus on Him and what brings Him joy. And what brings Him joy the most? I ask. Salvation, right? When we focus that way, He can produce that joy in our lives. But it kind of brings us right back where we started. This battle, this versus. Listen, when things go south in our lives, and they go south a lot, don't they? You know, once in a while you just wish, Lord, could we go the other direction just for a little bit? You know, could we go north just a little while, please? But no, things go south. And God, in His wisdom and His sovereignty, wants us to come closer to Him, closer in fellowship with Him. And when we do, He's going to give us joy. But in this battle of the old sinful nature, Satan doesn't want that, does he? He wants to move us away from God. He wants to make these troubles in life all about us. How bad we have it. How life is not fair. God is not fair. And after a while, we almost feel like we have an excuse to give in to the things of the flesh, to the old sinful nature. Folks, I'll tell you what. Let's be honest about it. The Bible tells us that when we give in to those things, we can find pleasure for a season. Let's just put it out there. There's pleasure to be had. But I will guarantee you one thing on God's Word, there is not joy there. We'll not find joy. That is only found when we put the Lord first. So, what about others? Well, let's close with this. Let's not focus on ourselves, okay? We know where that's going to lead us. We're down in third. Let's stay there. Our circumstances cannot be our source of joy. Okay? They cannot. Do not allow your circumstances to be your source of joy. And I'm talking even on the good side. Be careful, because we'll get used to that, and then when things go bad, woe is us. Let's keep our focus on the Lord. Keep Him top. And here's the kicker. When we do, when we concentrate on the Lord first and what brings Him joy, we will have no problem putting others second above ourselves. We'll have no problem doing that. Why? Well, because God's greatest joy is salvation. Salvation of people. Salvation of lost souls. And if we are focused on the Lord, we're going to be focused on that. And that is my challenge to us. Folks, listen. We've got to be more focused on the lost. We cannot twist their arm. We can't beat them up. We can focus on them and be concerned about their lost state. That, as Gary was given examples, and we saw this past week, and that we're not promised another day. People that we rub shoulders with day after day who are lost, they may be eternally lost if they die without Christ. Let's be concerned about it. And we do that by focusing on Jesus. If we make Him everything in our lives, we make Him first, we will have no trouble caring about the lost. No trouble witnessing to them. No trouble handing them a Bible. Because we want that joy that God has when a sinner comes to repentance. Guys, we can pray, we can witness, we can share the gospel. But let's remember this. Every single time someone comes to Christ in repentance, there is rejoicing with the angels in heaven. We can rejoice, guys. Let's have that joy produced in our hearts, not for our own selfish use, but for God's glory. Take that challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the joy that you produce in our lives through the Holy Spirit. In the midst of troubles and trials, God, you are so faithful. But Father, sometimes in life we get so bogged down. We get so overwhelmed. We get so consumed, God, with us that we fail to put you first. We fail to look at others and their needs. We're only concerned about us. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to turn things around. Put you first. And be concerned, God, about bringing you joy, the joy that comes, God, when a sinner repents. We have that gospel, God. You've given it to us, and we know it's true. We know it's powerful. It's life-changing. Help us to share it, God, with those round about us. Leave the work to you. Leave the results to you, God, but help us do our part. Challenge us, Lord. Equip us. Give us joy in our hearts to serve you gladly till we see you face to face. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. As I said, as we sing song in closing, Gary's going to be in the back to receive what offering God puts on your heart to support the Gideon.
Joe, please stand with us. He's singing, "In My Heart There Rings a Melody," page 514.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed our sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven. Harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody.